Welcome to the Visionary Chronicles, a business strategy podcast where we provide insight to those looking for creative, executable strategies built around the latest disruptive ideas, innovative cultures, product creators, and marketing solutions. Welcome to the Visionary Chronicles. Today, we're going to talk again a little bit more in depth on leadership. A lot of what I've been seeing out there in the industry as a result of where we're at, whether it be COVID, whether it be the overall economy itself, in finding ways to expand, succeed in your business, your category, whatever it may be, leadership is always front and center. And when you look at leadership, there's great leadership, there's inferior leadership, and then there's no leadership. So what I want to talk about today is, you know, how to identify these traits and how do you succeed as a leader? A lot of this is introspective, you know, things that you need to identify internally because externally everybody sees it. You just refuse to face the reality. So when I look at these traits, there's numerous leadership traits, you know, but these which do not promote a culture. And these traits that don't promote a culture where everyone participates, you know, from the top down, I always say it doesn't matter the role you have inside the company, executive or otherwise, everyone is part of your culture, everybody is part of your brand, and effectively everybody is part of your success, and everyone wants to share in that. So when you look at these leaders that are promoting a culture, those where everyone participates and or feels they're part of a cohesive team, inevitably either succeed or they fail. And so when I look at this, I go, one thing a leader is one that is the visionary inside of this company that drives the passion with the team. It drives those to succeed, to create, whether it be great products, great services, whatever it may be, these visionary leaders, the ones who can set the future, inspire others, and drive that passion inside of a company are few in number. You know, this is a very hard trait to have, and a trait that's made up of, ironically, many different traits. And most leaders have individual traits, some good, some bad. Visionaries have a lot of traits, for the most part, are great. And one of these traits is driving that passion. And many times take it that as a negative, but actually it's positive because at the end of the day, you can see the results of driving that passion, driving greatness inside of a company or inside of a brand. So when you look at these great visionary leaders, you know, this is by design that there's so few of these leaders. And it's extremely difficult to find someone who has all these visionary traits, somebody that can build the team, drive the culture, define the vision, be able to see the future is one thing, but be able to put the pieces in the place, which effectively is your team and a strategy and the execution process, and be able to realize that future. And so then it becomes tangible because talk is talk. And until you actually realize what you're talking about, nobody believes it. And as soon as that happens and you've actually realized what effectively was the future, people jump on board. And that's what drives passion inside of a company. And when you have these visionary leaders that make bold assessments, many times they're not risk takers. By design, they want to make sure that they can realize that future, so they have stretch goals, but they understand they can't do it by themselves. So what you'll see with a lot of these traits we'll talk about today are those that either stifle innovation, stifle your culture, stifle your ability to be great inside of your category on a global scale. So when you're looking at both brands who have succeeded and those that have either struggled or failed, you'll find that leadership is usually front and center as to whether they succeed or whether they fail. Like it or not, they drive the vision of the company, and by design, what they drive effectively is what's put into the bloodlines of the company, and it flows through everybody. So when you look at these dynamic leaders or those that do not have this visionary trait, it's a struggle. And that's why these companies many times fail. And when you look at visionaries, they are risk takers, but they also at the same time understand risk. So when we look about and we talk about these leaders and qualities and traits of leaders, what I've found in working with brands and consulting with brands with Liquid Mind, these are both global brands and startup brands. We work with both. And so what you'll find is there is this individual trait, or I guess this thing that leaders and most companies that we work with or I have worked with are uncomfortable with, and it's risk. And by design, you cannot succeed in innovating or driving your company or culture to the next level unless you embrace it. So what you'll find with many leaders and the traits that you'll see and we'll talk about is a lot of them will embrace risk, but they will just talk about risk and embracing it. But then in the reality of when you look at their teams and talk to their teams, which we've done in many instances, you'll find that the reality is that they're not committed to it. And what happens when you have a disconnect between the visionary and or the leadership in this instance and the reality, guess what? It creates frustration. And the frustration bleeds through and infects a company throughout all areas and all functional areas, because it all kind of bleeds down into the organization. And as a result, it creates ineffectiveness, which is a result of frustration. So what we're going to talk about is these leadership traits in these big, small companies, global brands, whoever we work with or talk with. I kind of wanted to give you a perspective and not just talk about the trait, tell you what it is, but also kind of have some solutions around working with these leaders. And even if you're a manager, a executive level, the visionary leader, or you think you're a visionary leader, hopefully we can talk about some of those traits today and get an idea of who you are, number one. Number two, have the reality check to understand that you may have a good and or bad trait and how to strengthen that weakness or how to utilize that strength to drive your company to the next level. So what I wanted to focus on today were what are the four most common traits that I see or Liquid Mind as a brand strategy firm has seen with these companies that we work with and the leaders that we work with at these different companies. Now you'll see both visionary traits. You'll see traits where they're cautious, they don't want to take risks, whatever it may be. But hopefully coming out of this, you'll be able to identify maybe some of these traits and ones that are working for your organization, working for your team, and have actually realized a benefit out in the marketplace as a result. So we'll talk about four of these. There's many of them, but I want to identify four of them. The first one that we find out there with leadership is overconfidence. And this is where leaders overpromise and develop unrealistic expectations, much to the detriment of the brand, I should say. And when you're looking at this, I know that more often than not, leaders that are overconfident traditionally don't look at the long term. What they do is they look at the short term. They see who's out in the marketplace. They do what they feel is a SWOT or a competitive analysis and also addressable market analysis, but they don't address the reality of the competitive set in particular. And also the commercialization requirements for, let's say in this case, a new category. Let's say that they've identified they're a great footwear company, but they would like to move into apparel. Well, we're a great footwear company. By design, we should be able to translate that to apparel very effectively and to be successful and commercialize our products the same way and offer them up to the same customers and replicate that success, and it should be very easy. Now, that's a very common thing that we see with some of the footwear and apparel brands that we see, and it's called product line extension, category extension, incremental revenue opportunities. So, but what we find is, because you're successful in a particular category doesn't mean you're going to be successful in another category. Now, there may be more of a likelihood of success if you're within the same distribution channels, you're within the same category, but hard goods versus soft goods. So that's really something that you want to be aware of. when I was with and at Oakley, we were very successful in sunglasses, and we had extremely big gross margins. We had great cash flow. So we felt, hey, why don't we put that cash to work to go into apparel, footwear, and accessories? And it was a great idea at the time, but what we found is that you would get into that and it would stretch resources. Even though we knew that we were successful in a particular category, the extensions didn't translate. And so what we found is that we weren't successful in certain categories, but because we were able to put cash against an opportunity, we were able to address the risk, address the addressable market, and be able to define if it's going to be successful or not. So I use that as a cautionary tale to brands, because I've been inside of that belly where we were extremely successful in a particular category, felt we could do an extension, and that extension just didn't work. For whatever reason, it just didn't translate, whether it be channels we were trying to go into that we currently weren't familiar with, whether it be the product category itself, we wouldn't have a core expertise. I just found that what you need to do if you're going to do that is dabble. Put something out there that is a core product within the category that you want to go into. In this case, let's say you want to do apparel, go into a core apparel category, see how strong your brand is in the marketplace, see how successful a core category is, and it should be, by the way. If it's not, it should give you a clear indication as to the power of the brand in a alternative market or category. So make sure that you don't have overconfidence. Now, if you find yourself with this trait, you want to make sure you're looking out for a few things. And I'll give you a couple items to consider here if you are an overconfident leader. And this is a hard one because, you know, overconfidence has always been one of those things where it's a positive, not a negative. So it's a hard one for leaders to overcome. Well, geez, I'm overconfident. Well, it is a great trait. I'm not saying it isn't. But what you want to make sure of is that you're not overriding things that you should be looking at before you make a final decision. So there's a couple of things that I'll put out here when you have this trait, and you know, how do you make sure that you're having the team involved in the process of making these decisions as you go forward in building and structuring the brand. So a couple of things is, one is debate and invite conversation, meaning that, you know, debate means throw ideas against the board. A lot of times with these overconfident leaders, there's an ideation phase of where do we want to take the company, what category do we want to go into, whatever it may be. But you want to make sure you're debating this with those on the team that are affected by, let's say in this case, the Oakley case, hey, we're going from eyewear to apparel. You know, how are we going to align resources to make sure we're successful in this new category, even though we don't know a lot about the category? So you want to make sure you're debating and inviting conversation on this new opportunity that you see. And don't be so quick to make a decision. Overconfidence, you have a tendency to make quick decisions. So you want to make sure you take your time on making a decision. Now, inevitably, it is your decision, but you want to make sure that you're analyzing, but not too much. It's a very delicate balance. I'm always big on making decisions. It's better to be decisive than indecisive, better to make a bad decision than no decision at all. So you want to make sure that you are making decisions, but don't be too quick. And you want to make sure you're not alienating people. You know, offer up alternative opinions, because you want everybody on board structurally with the decision that you're making. Now, you're, again, inevitably making that decision, but when people walk away from that room, you have given them an answer to their concern. So that's a big one. And ensure you understand the long-term implications and be realistic with your expectations. So I want to make sure that whenever I talk to these leaders and leaders that I've been with at brands, Liquid Mind or otherwise, I want to make sure they understand the long-term implications, and we'll ask very proactive questions to them about that. The second one that you'll see is there's impulsive leaders. You just crave this satisfaction of having made a decision without really looking at the overall landscape of what that decision is or the impact on the company and the brand. So what you want to make sure is you understand those consequences and the impact of what your decisions are. And what I mean by this is it's much different than overconfidence. Overconfidence, it's really a leader who understands the circumstances. They just need to kind of what I call shave off the edges here a little bit. The impulsive leader is he gets this idea in his or her head and they just make a decision. And you go, well, wait a minute, it's a great idea, but we need to kind of walk through the process of how we're going to execute this idea in the marketplace before we make a final decision. So impulsiveness, if you find a leader that's impulsive and or you've kind of introspectively realized you're an impulsive leader, said there's a few things that you can consider here. One is that you take your time and integrate data. That's a little bit different than the overconfidence side of it. It's just taking your time, but making sure you have the data before you make a decision. The second thing is understand the overriding strategy of why you're making the decision. And third is evaluate the risk. You know, overconfident leaders understand the risk. They just want to make sure long-term they understand the implication of that risk in the marketplace. So evaluate the risk. Impulsive leaders just don't even care about the risk. They just think it's a great idea. Let's go for it without really identifying the strategy and or the risk. You know, number three is a rigid, what I call this firm leader. You know, it's kind of like the generals that they've got this process of what they do day in, day out. It never changes. It's very structured. They control the environment, stick to a process, and ensure everyone follows without any change or any input, which is a big problem. So leaders like this, what we found inside of companies, and it's factual, is that they stifle creativity and eliminate risk. And as a result, they don't have any innovation inside of the company. So this is one where it's great to have a process. It's great that you want to implement that process, but it may not be, it more often than not, what I'll say is it's probably a square peg in a round hole. So you want to make sure that whatever you're doing, that you have this process, but adaptable as you move forward. So, you know, if you find yourself in this situation and or a leader that is this rigid firm, it's a hard one to change because this is really inherent in their personality. So whatever it may be, you want to just have these things that are being addressed by the leader. Maybe you put a notepad on their desk and just say, hey, listen, you know, you need to be open about decisions. A lot of times these structured and rigid firm leaders will make all these decisions internally, map it out in their head, put it up on the whiteboard, everybody follows, get in line. So you want to make sure you're open about decisions so there can be some discussion around those decisions. The second thing is take some risks. You can't have innovation. It's impossible to have innovation and creativity inside of a brand unless you take risks. So this is traditionally what you'll see from a rigid and firm leader is they refuse to take risks and or virtually eliminate anything that would involve a risk. So, and the third is you need to build a trusted team, someone that you can talk with, somebody that can talk things out. Maybe it's one or two people, but what it allows you to do then is build trust with somebody internally that you can then trust to execute the plan or the strategy, and or someone that could come back to you and talk about changes that need to be made inside of the company. And the fourth is, which is interesting with these rigid and firm leaders, is they're just not curious. They're not creative. They're not curious. They're not risk takers. So a lot of times I find that these are ops people or ones that come from an environment that is this big structure, very rigid, very aerospace type of feel to it. And I think it's great that you have that structure inside of those companies, but it doesn't work for all companies. So don't try to fit this square peg into a round hole. Be curious. And as a result, creativity comes out. And then as a result, the team feels comfortable. You're less rigid. And as a result, you're more innovative. So the fourth is insecure. Insecure leaders are the most frustrating for us to deal with. And you don't see insecure leaders at the top of companies very often. It's usually one of these inherent leaders. Maybe it's somebody that grew up through the family and the business, doesn't necessarily want to be there. Maybe wasn't classically trained in leading a company. And this is a trait where they worry about decisions and everyone around them and what you think about the decision, what you think about what they're doing, and always second guessing everything that they do. So there's some areas when you get an insecure leader that have to be overcome. And so when you look at these insecure leaders, you know, that many times are taken advantage of, you know, unknowingly, whatever it may be. And it's not always bad to be an insecure leader. You know, I find that they're very humble, humble to a fault many times because people look to leaders for the vision of the company. But there are things if you find yourself as an insecure leader and or the leader you have is insecure, you know, one thing for them that they have to do personally and what we work with them on is understanding their fears. I mean, many times insecure leaders have fears. Fears of failing is number one. And if they take a risk, guess what? You fear failure. So the problem is that it stifles innovation inside of the company. So you want to make sure you're understanding your fears. And then the second is those fears are driven more often than not by a decision they think that they will fail at. So what we find is, well, what's the best and worst case scenario? What's the best thing that can happen? What's the worst thing that can happen? Go through that analysis when you have a decision that's being made. And at some point in time, what we find with these leaders is they're comfortable making decisions without worrying about them, and they understand the consequences as a result, positive or negative. And the other one is just find small wins, hit singles, not home runs. So when you get into a situation where you see an opportunity, go after that opportunity, but don't make it this long-term planning thing. Just hit a single. You know, when I find that that builds confidence with these leaders that continually kind of perpetuates throughout the company. And people see it, which is great. And relive successes, meaning look back on successes and decisions that you've made, these singles, these doubles, whatever it is, and make sure that you kind of relive those successes, not only with yourself, but with the team as well. You don't want to do it too often, but you want to be able to kind of celebrate those successes so it allows you to move forward into the future. So these are four traits that we see with brands that I've been with personally, as well as global and startup brands. It's kind of common traits you'll see in most leaders. And the reason I wanted to bring it up, talk about it, was just not talk about the traits themselves, but also talk about what can you do as a result of having one of these traits. And again, not everybody's visionary. And it's a combination of all these different things and traits that you have that visionary leaders have. But it's a very hard thing for most people to consistently do day in, day out. So, you know, all leaders have frailties. You know, most are not visionary, but understand your weaknesses and find ways to strengthen these weaknesses for really the sake of both your team and your brand. I wanted to thank you for listening to the Visionary Chronicles podcast, and hopefully you find the information that we put out each week very useful. And what we found through reviews and when we were originally putting together their Visionary podcast was found both personal and professional advice as well as information those listening to the podcast were looking for. So we wanted to be unique in that way, and hopefully you found that to be the case. And appreciate the reviews that you've been sending in, and we would certainly appreciate you signing up for our newsletter as well, which is an expansion upon what you're seeing on or hearing on the Visionary Chronicles podcast. And you can find that at two locations. One is bryansmeltzer.com, BryanSmeltzer.com, or our company site, liquidmindsite.com, LiquidMind, site, SITE.com. So we would appreciate any reviews, additional reviews, comments you may have. Sign up for the newsletter, and we look forward to talking with you next week.